racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
It's a new year, and what better place to start than in Maui at the Century Tournament of Champions. Hi, and welcome into the Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm Bob Bupka with Jay Randolph Jr., perhaps better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, welcome to the 2019 season. Happy New Year. Boy, it's upon us. We only took a blink.
Seems like it was just yesterday, and you're there with all the pomp and circumstance and the fun that's surrounding the opening of the 2019 Century Tournament of Champions. Bob, they know how to get a tournament started, don't they?
Well, they really do. Standing on that first tee, some Hawaiian dancers, native music, drums, a great, great opening ceremony, probably one of the best. And it is, you know, a time where everybody's making New Year's resolutions. So I want to proclaim mine. And if you have one, Jay, feel free to share it. But I'm going on a health kick in 2019. Fortunately, I discovered at a store here in Maui what they refer to as organic vodka. So from now on, that's all I'm going to be drinking is organic vodka. They said it's going to make me healthier. I don't know if you agree with that or not, Jay.
I just, the one thing I never thought I would hear is Bob's gone organic, but the vodka's done it. I like that. I'm going to try and step away from the cheeseburgers once in a while in 2019. So you go organic and I'll step away from the table.
Well, we'll see. I guarantee it's going to be easier for me than it's going to than it be for you. You can bet on that. Well, you know, the Century Tournament of Champions, actually, it's just that. It's a winners-only tournament, and all the winners on the PGA Tour last year, there were 37 winners, 34 are here. Probably the biggest missing name is Tiger Woods. We had speculated, Jay, that he might be coming here. Tiger, if you're listening, we miss you, wish you were here.
But Jay, we certainly would be remiss if we didn't open up our preview of the 2019 Tournament of Champions presented by Century without having our next guest as our first guest, none other than Mr. Hawaii, Mark Ralphing. All the events you do, Mark, I got to believe in the bottom of your heart, this one touches it more than any other event.
Really does, Bob. Geez, our first one was 1982, so it's been 36 years worth now. And I wake up in the morning every day during tournament week and just pinch myself and say, are we having a tournament out there today? Is Rory McIlroy actually going to tee off and Dustin Johnson? And yeah, I hope I don't ever underappreciate just what this tournament has meant, you know, not only to Kapalua, but the whole island and the people of the island. It is remarkable when you think about the most remote island chain on Earth. We've got 2,500 miles in either direction without any mainland. To be able to have something like this here, it's just almost indescribable for me.
Well, I always get asked, do I play golf when I get to Maui? And I said, for years I played the Bay course, but there was always one hole that I got to where I would have to tee off over the ocean and see Mark Ralphing's house right there. And it's gotten so bad that I can't look at that view anymore, so I don't play golf. But you still live there, right?
I still live there. The only thing I don't have to do is have hard hats out on my porch for when your group comes through anymore. So that saves on the preparation budget for me. But you got to get back out there and play again, Bob. We got a new tee, you know, with this whole proliferation of distance and everything. That hole's turned into a wedge or nine iron shot for the best players. So we built another tee back there, and I want you to try it out.
I'll definitely do that. One last thing, we're talking with Mark Ralphing. 2018 was an incredible year in the world of professional golf. In a few words, can you sum up what we were blessed to witness last year?
Well, two words, Tiger Woods. That was the story of the year. I just thought the whole thing as it unfolded, really from Tampa all the way to Atlanta. I'm going to leave the Ryder Cup out of it for right now. It was amazing. I believe it's the greatest comeback in the history of sports, not just golf. And I think you're going to see more of it in 2019. As good as 2018 was, I think 2019 is going to be even better.
You know, Bob, it's great to hear the ambassador of golf for Hawaii and beyond, Mark Rolfing, one of Jay Sr.'s favorite people. He has such a passion for the game and also raising money for charity. That's good stuff. And let's get to the tournament itself. It's always been the first event of the year. And despite the fact that we've got the wraparound season, it does feel a little bit new, Bob.
Yeah, it really does. To me, when we get here to Maui, it's special. And then we know the next season officially is underway, even though we've had some events. All right, the player of the year is going to be first up on the grill room. He won the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship right in the backyard of Jay Randolph Jr. in St. Louis. And let's listen to what Mr. Koepka has to say about his game coming into 2019.
I haven't touched the club. Took some time off, but I don't need to practice every day to play my best. I'd rather be mentally fresh than, you know, playing great and mentally tired. I feel like I like where I'm hitting it, but it's nice to be healthy and, you know, kind of fall back in love with the game a little bit and still excited to play every week. I'm very confident with, you know, where the preparation I put in, the focus that I've had in tournaments, and I felt like I've brought that over to regular PGA Tour events where sometimes I kind of press a little too hard instead of, you know, playing that conservatively aggressive approach I have at the majors, where I think it's starting to come around in regular tour events and don't feel like I have to push and have to win. Just let it come sometimes.
You know, it's going to be amazing, Jay, when we get to Pebble Beach. He's going to be going for the trifecta, 3 U.S. Opens in a row. Wow, the pressure will be on Koepka there.
No doubt about it. There's only one 3-time winner in the history of the U.S. Open. He didn't do it 3 years in a row, and that's Hale Irwin. You know, I'm going to be fascinated to see how Brooks Koepka does at the Masters. It was interesting to hear him talk about regular tour starts as opposed to majors because he's obviously had so much success early on in the majors. Brooks Koepka could certainly be a factor this week on that golf course for sure.
And, of course, a lot of excitement here this week, Jay, because Rory McIlroy playing here for the first time. He always wanted to play the biggest events worldwide, and now that he's married and he has a house down in Florida, he really made the announcement that he's going to commit himself to the PGA Tour. He felt that by playing in the Middle East when he showed up, maybe down in Florida for his first start of a given campaign, that he was behind the eight ball as far as FedEx Cup points. So he has caused quite a buzz, and it was exciting already to have Rory McIlroy here.
Well, and I know it was exciting for you, Bob, because you had the chance to chat with one of the greats of the game right now, Rory McIlroy.
You know, Rory, the average fan, they turn on the television, they see you teeing it up. I don't think they give any thought to the process that you have to go through just to go to that event. Now, as you get more popular, as you win more and more tournaments want you to show up. And it becomes quite difficult to decide where you want to play.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of things that go into picking tournaments that you want to play. I think history on the golf course has a lot to do with it. I think a lot of players are always going to play tournaments where they've had success before and they like the golf course and they like the area. But then there's other things as well. Some things just fit into the schedule a little bit better. And, you know, being here in Maui this week, this was just one that I've never played before, and I've always wanted to, and this year I've, you know, just had the opportunity to come and do it, and, you know, I'm glad I've made the trip.
The Open coming to Northern Ireland,
yeah.
I mean, that's
It's got to be almost a dream come true for you.
It is. It's one that I've been looking at for a long time. 2019 Port Rush, that's the, I mean, if, yeah, I mean, there's so many people in, back home that are so excited about that event, and you know, I'm going to try and do everything I can to be as ready as I possibly can be to, you know, it's the closest I'm going to get to playing a major at home. It basically is at home, so probably be a bit of extra pressure that week, but, you know, I'm going to try to enjoy it.
Be a lot of extra pressure, Bob, and it'll be fascinating to see how he'll handle it. I mean, the crowds are going to be unbelievable. It's going to be, we've talked about it already with the venues next year. Obviously, Augusta, Bethpage, with the PGA move to May, the Open at Pebble, the U.S. Open at Pebble, and then the Open Championship at Port Rush. It's going to be a lot of pressure on Rory, but maybe he'll be able to rise to the occasion. And being this, I look forward to seeing how he plays over these 4 days on this type of a golf course. It's certainly a different one than you would see in his homeland. But as we mentioned earlier, he now is kind of calling the U.S. home. So we'll see how he does in this first event of 2019. Well, and Bob, one of the newcomers in this field this year is young dynamic Cameron Champ, who burst onto the scene with his W at the Sanderson Farms Championship. What a bright future he has, and it's even better because he got to talk to you. Here's Bob and Cameron Champ.
Kind of ironic. In order to get into this field, you got to be a champ. But you were born one. Yes. So you're the first one named Champ ever to play here at the Tournament of Champions. How excited are you about it?
Extremely excited. This is, I still remember over the years, this is a tournament I've always watched because it's always during our break during school and sitting on the couch, obviously wishing I could be in that tournament. And obviously to be here now and to earn it the way I did, it's definitely an amazing feeling, and just trying to take it all in. So,
how soon after you started playing golf that people reference the fact that, boy, he hits it far?
I was a young age. I've kind of always been far in general. You know, since I was 10 or 11 maybe, and then I would say as I grew and got older, it got a little longer and longer as the years went on, but I'd definitely say it started out at a young age for sure.
One last thing, we're talking to Cameron Champ, and Cameron, you've hooked up with Sean Foley. Mm-hmm. Many regard him as fine a coach as there is in the world of professional golf. Obviously, he's meant a lot to you.
He has, yeah. He, like I said, he gave me a chance when no one knew who I was, when we didn't have the means. You know, that wasn't what he was about. He kind of saw the talent I had and kind of raw talent at that age. Didn't really know what I was doing, just a homemade swing. And we worked from that day. I still remember that day when I was there. And it's grew to where we are now. So it's just kind of amazing to see, like I said, from where I was when I first met him to kind of where we are now, which is, it's already been 8 years, but it feels like yesterday I just saw him.
Met him when he was 15 years of age. And Sean just took a liking to the move. And he mentioned 8 years. And speaking of Mr. Foley, Bob, later in the show, we're going to get the chance to talk to one of the outstanding teachers of the game of golf, Sean Foley, coming up. And we can also report Cameron Champ made the first birdie of 2019 on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, he birdied the first hole. It's unbelievable. And I got a kick. Having a cup of coffee the other day with Sean Foley, and I said, can you tell me in one sentence why Cameron Champ hits it so far? He said, sure, I could do that, Bob. You tell me in one sentence why Usain Bolt runs as fast as he does. I said, you got a good point there. I mean, it's just a God-given talent that Cameron Champ has the ability to hit a golf ball. And I couldn't help but think, I want your thoughts on this, Jay. A year ago, it was Dustin Johnson on the 18th green getting the winner's check, getting the trophy. He had thrilled everyone in the field by how far he was hitting it here at the Plantation course. And I wonder if somebody had come up to him and said, you know, Dustin, you're going to be coming back next year as defending champion, but you're not going to be the longest hitter in the field. He'd have looked at whoever said that to him like they were crazy. I mean, Cameron Champ blows it by Dustin Johnson like nobody's business. It's incredible.
No, it really is, and it's going to be fun to see. And I hope people listen to the Sean Foley interview. I got to tell you, I've become a lot more of a Sean Foley fan the last couple of years. I think it was a little awkward situation with him and Tiger, and it didn't play out maybe as well as Sean Foley would have liked. But when you work with the likes of Justin Rose, and now you take a young player under your wing like Cameron Champ, and I think people will appreciate some of the things that Sean Foley says in our upcoming interview. You know, you mentioned Dustin Johnson. And, Bob, we've talked about the fact that there are USGA rules officials at the first four events on the PGA Tour because of the rules changes. Many players have been asking about them, the time limit on looking for your ball, or what about the flag sticking there. How about this pairing? Dustin Johnson draws Bryson DeChambeau in the opening round of 2019, Bryson has said he's going to leave the flag stick in while putting. I'm looking forward to watching that in the opening round.
Yeah, that's going to be quite a sight. I think the line of the preparation week is when we had an opportunity to talk to Rory McIlroy the other day. We said, what are your thoughts about the rules? How did you make out at the rules meeting? They scheduled a meeting for the players. And Rory said, no, the meeting was voluntary, and I volunteered not to go. So he's not concerned about the rules. Bryson DeChambeau has analyzed every situation possible. He will be putting, certainly with the flag stick in. Great. I had a chance to shake the hand of Charles Howell III. It's been 11 years, Jay, since he's been here. He's thrilled to death. I had a lot of fun with Ian Poulter. He beat me up all over again because of the our performance in the Ryder Cup. But just a great, great field here. And the Century people are doing a marvelous, marvelous job. And they really have embraced this event, and their intent is each year to make it better and better, and they're certainly on the right track as we speak.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Joining us here in 2019, Alex Maselli. We're at the site of the Century Tournament of Champions. Got to be a winner to get here. Certainly our next guest has proven to be a winner in many endeavors over his career.
Oh, my gosh. It's 2019.
Well, I turned over a new leaf. Nothing but compliments for Alex Maselli. But on a serious note, Alex, we're coming off of 2018. By all accounts, certainly has to be regarded at the professional level a very successful year in golf. What are your thoughts about 2019? You can touch a little bit about the major venues that seem to be special. Obviously, the granddaddy of them all is going to be the Open Championship going to Northern Ireland. But from your perspective, can we anticipate 2019 to even exceed 2018?
Oh, I think absolutely. I don't think there's any question. I mean, first of all, 2018 was good. The tour, professional golf is in such a great place, not only on the PGA Tour, but overseas as well. I mean, irrespective of what you hear about Rory McIlroy wanting to play or not play, you go to a European Tour event, it's solid. A lot of good players, a lot of good golf courses, a lot of money being involved, and there's a lot of sponsorship, support, which is what you need. So professional golf is in terrific shape. So you move 2018 and take it in 2019. You talked about some of the major venues. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of some of them, but yet, all in all, I think they're all good. But I think what's better is the fact that you actually move the PGA Championship to March or to May, move the Players Championship to March, and then have an end, a distinctive end, before football starts. So now we really actually have, no matter what anybody else wants to say, we actually have a season. And I think that in itself will generate a lot of buzz around those events and also around the FedEx Cup events, which is now down to three instead of four. All across the board, I think that's all positives. And, you know, this is all about making money, right? This is all about generating revenue for players, playing opportunities, making them richer, which I have no problem with at all. But at the same time, everybody else is starting to benefit from this as well. So I think all in all, 18 was good. 19 will be better. And I think as we start adjusting to the changes of the schedules, the European Tour is in a much better place, I believe, in their fall now than they ever were before. I just think that all in all, everybody's going to have a little piece of everything, and it's going to work out very, very well.
I'm curious to a comment you made in that response, in that you're not thrilled with some of the major venues this year. Which ones are you talking about? It certainly can't be Augusta. It certainly can't be Pebble Beach. It certainly can't be Bethpage. And it certainly can't be Port Rush. So I don't, unless you know of some majors that are going to be taking place that I don't know about, what were you referring to?
Well, first of all, you're one of those Long Islanders, so you think that everything lives and dies on a course that's on Long Island. I'm not a Bethpage fan. And after all the chances we've had to play at Bethpage, either U.S. Opens or different events in the FedEx Cup, I have never thought the course to be that good of a course on a professional level. I just never liked it that much. So there's a one. The second is I'm not a huge fan of Pebble Beach like everyone else is. I think there's many other U.S. Open venues we could go to that I really like. The difference there is that golf course will be in pretty good shape in regards to being hard and fast in that time of year. And West Coast venues are better for television all around because you're going to be in prime time the whole time. So those are the positives. But no one will overshadow what's going to happen at Port Rush for the Open Championship. It will be unbelievable. You will never have been to a major championship that will have that much buzz in it ever in your life. And Bob, you've been a little more than I have, and I've been to over 40, and I'm going to tell you, I know that's going to be an unbelievable experience.
Well, case in point, when I hear at the Ryder Cup that the Open Championship is a sellout, no tickets available, and we were 8-9 months away from the event taking place, I mean, it blew my mind.
They have never sold out an Open Championship because the policy is to let people in all the time. Because of the way that this is structured and the land that they have, they can only do so much. So they had to cap it, which is the first time ever. And you talk to any player on the European Tour, be it an Irish player, a Northern Irish player, an English player, an Italian player, they're going to tell you that they know it's going to be unbelievable when they go there. And, of course, what's appropriate is that an Italian will be the defending champion when we go to Port Rush.
What about the prospects of Sunday afternoon Open Championship coming down the 72nd hole? Rory McIlroy is in the lead, and he's going to win. What will that scene be like?
Well, you know, I think if you had been with Rory at the Walker Cup when it was at Royal County Down, and I'd never met Rory before, I'd never been to Royal County Down before, but the hype for that kid, who was a kid then, was unbelievable. You just reverse that now and think about, okay, now you got the major titles he has behind him, all the success he has behind him, showing up in Northern Ireland and winning another Open Championship. I mean, I really don't believe there's too many other people that could bring that kind of adulation to. I mean, maybe to some extent Graham McDowell, if he would show up to that. You know, maybe to some extent Darren Clarke, which isn't probably going to happen. I mean, Darren spends more time at the pub there than he ever spent at the golf course there. But still, all in all, he still knows how to play the golf course. But I just think that, you know, any one of those guys would mean something, but Rory would mean much, much more. And obviously, as you know and I know, the odds are that the person that's got the best chance of that happening for is, in fact, Rory McIlroy.
Absolutely incredible. Alex Maselli, he is the founder, publisher of Morning Read, the fastest growing publication in the world of golf. You want your golf information? Go to morningread.com. Published 5 days a week with some great, great writers contributing. Thanks, Alex. Look forward to seeing you the rest of the year.
Thanks, Bobby.
Time for a short break, and when we return, we'll have the opportunity to talk in depth with Sean Foley, as we mentioned, the golf instructor, coach, and mentor on the PGA Tour. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Group Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play the Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
The Kapalua Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator freezer so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Welcome back into the Grill Room. We're here at Maui at the Century Tournament of Champions, and certainly lucky enough to have the one, the only Sean Foley, golf coach, teacher, mentor to the stars on the PGA Tour. Names like Justin Rose, Sean O'Hare, Hunter Mahan, and of course in previous years, Tiger Woods. But what we're going to talk about with Sean Foley is a rising superstar by the name of Cameron Champ. But I have to do a couple of things first, Jay. I want to welcome Sean, wish him a happy new year. And Sean, you actually tugged at my heartstrings just a little while ago. We were standing out there, and you made reference to Gary Planos, who we lost at 62 years old. He was Mr. Maui.
Absolutely.
He was this tournament. And
yeah. Every day it's been kind of strange, right?
So. You know, when you're here and you don't see Gary, it doesn't seem right.
Well, it's interesting, right? I mean, that goes to show kind of the type of energy and spirit that he had, right? I remember coming here the first time was, 2008 with Stephen Ames. And, you know, he had that quality where he just never met a stranger. And I don't know how teachable that is, but it's definitely a choice. And I mean, the guy treated me like gold and treated everyone like gold, would speak to the number one player in the world the same way he would speak to the guy who's moving the carts around. And I think that's what it's all about when it comes down to humanity and equality, is that it is all the same. Just because you're the best basketball player, best lawyer, best golfer in the world, that shouldn't you know, put you on a pedestal different from anybody else. And he did that with such class.
Jay, you knew Gary.
Yeah, he, as you said, it's got to be odd with him not being there. He was so much a part of the event and had been for so many years, and always there to greet the players. And as Sean said, it didn't matter whether you were number one in the world or you were caddying for somebody or you were working on the grounds crew. He had the same kind of respect for people, no matter what their walk in life was.
Yeah, I think it's a sign of real character in men and women alike is it's based more on how you treat people who do nothing for you than people who can do things for you. And I think that he was the epitome of that.
Well, certainly we want to take this opportunity to talk to Sean about Cameron Champ. But it's not from what I learned yesterday from speaking with Cameron. It's not the normal relationship where this high-profile player came to Sean Foley and said, look, I want to pay you big money to be my coach. You actually, according to Cameron, correct me if I'm wrong, kind of approached him when he was, 15 years old or something, and certainly didn't have the financial means to solicit your services. Give us that story.
Well, I mean, look, it basically John Wood, who was caddying for Hunter Mahan all those years we worked together, he went to high school in Sacramento with Cameron's father, and they played baseball and all that. And so I guess, you know, Wood asked me, can you take a look at my friend's son? He'll be in Orlando for a tournament or somewhere in Florida. can you spend time with him? And I said, yeah, for sure. And that to me doesn't really mean anything as far as I kind of look at it a little bit more like Robin Hood economics. So I charge the son of a CEO and son of a janitor on a Canadian socialist scale. So to me, a kid like that, and all my kids, to be honest with you, I don't really charge any of them, is, you know, the investment, as I saw a speed I'd never, ever witnessed before at that age. I saw a hunger and almost the necessity, for him to have to make it. And so I couldn't imagine not helping him. And, you know, helping him, my younger players are really safe from my own preferences now. You know, when I came on tour, even though I didn't think it, I was very methodical in what I did. And to be honest with you, I was very fortunate that my first three players kind of matched that movement that I wanted. But it, you know, it wasn't for everybody. And so at this point, I've studied long and hard with a lot of brilliant people who, none of them really in the golf industry, people at professors at universities. And I know why things work now better than I ever have. And so when I say that the young players are safer, growing up the way I grew up with my heroes being Butch and Led and stuff, it was like, you know, the club has to go here and here. But then you would look at different players like a Trevino or a Furyk and be like, well, why does that work when that's not even close to what we think is right? And then they're the best. And so starting to try to understand, Cameron has that move from the top where he lays the club down like Sergio, miles on the downswing. And so a player like that needs to make sure that they have length in their backswing and need to make sure that they continue to rotate. So because we've created now more principles and why things happen rather than opinions and guesses, it's that. So when I looked at Cameron right away, it's DJ 2.0. As impressed as I was with his 4-iron and his driver in 3-wood, I was equally unimpressed from 150 yards in. Usain Bolt was not designed to run a marathon. And so it would take a long time to get Usain Bolt to run a marathon. So we've just really worked hard with his chipping and his pitching and his wedge play and then his understanding of himself in the golf course. So, I mean, that's the benefit, you know, the benefit to, like, say, Butch and I, is that we've been around some of the greatest players of their generation and watched how they worked. And I think we'd be lying if we'd say that they've learned more than we have. I've definitely learned more from Justin Rose than he has from me. So to see him as a pro kind of go about it, how does he handle the gallery? When does he sign autographs? How does he do his schedule? How important is nutrition? You know, all these little small things that turn into mountains. I feel like with Cameron, yeah, I'm there as a technical advisor for him with his golf swing, but the mentorship role has always been much more like as a big brother. And, you know, we've talked about everything, you name it, period. So that's kind of, that's where we're at. And getting them to understand that, you know, this is a difficult game. And hitting it far is awesome. And there's nothing like it. But, you know, if you three-putt three times around, it doesn't really matter. So, I mean, the Players' Champion last year is the shortest player on the PGA Tour. So it's kind of, for me, who do I pair him with in practice rounds? So I think of guys like Webb Simpson and Jim Furyk, guys who I think get absolutely every ounce out of what they do, kind of get him to get some mentors that way.
Bob, I want to talk a little bit about the amazing power that he generates, but one of the things that I read that Cameron said when he's maybe struggling with the driver or going back to basics is trying to take that club back as slowly as he can. I can remember somebody telling me back in the day that Nicklaus would try and take it back as slow as he could when he really wanted to hit it far. I mean, you were quoted as saying, Sean, this is a guy that's got David Tom's accuracy that hits it 20, 30 yards by Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
That's scary.
No, it's actually crazy. Like, we went around this course for 3 days, the last 3 days, and I think he towed one tee shot, but for the most part, just to see the ball consistently fly 330 and not curve is almost impossible. And you know, last year, Justin Rose was number one on the PGA Tour in total driving. And he, you know, he's as good as it gets. And it's just when you see a different level And remember, it's manageable. It's not coachable. Like, he does what he does. He's never – yeah, we've picked up speed since we started, but that was never the goal. He's just picked up speed because he's 9 years older than he was, and men are biologically going to get stronger until the age of 26. So to me, it's like, all right, we need to have a safe shot. So he's got this shot that doesn't fly any higher than the roof that we're sitting in. That's really an advantage for him, because in order to be able to hit that stinger, you have to have a lot of ball speed, because when the ball's flying that low, it's not getting any help from aerodynamics. So it just falls out of the sky. So just kind of, you know, the way that he generates speed, we can measure it, but it's really not easy to teach that to anyone. For example, like, guys in the NBA have 45-inch vertical leaps. Well, there's guys who have 28-inch vertical leap, and they work with an expert for 2 years, and they get up to 33, but they're never going to hit that kind of genetic jump. And so it's more, you know, it's more important to understand that, and then to recognize now, I think, that the great players understood the importance of recovery. And I think so many guys at PGA Tour events, by Friday, they're so fatigued from how hard they worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And so it's kind of taking more of a relaxed approach to performance, saying that we'd rather be fresh than prepared, because you can be as prepared as you want, but there's been many times in my career where we practiced all week in zero wind, and Thursday morning it was blowing 30. It wasn't even the same golf course. So if someone gets really connected to how they prepare and things change, they don't have the ability to adapt. Next thing you know, they're 3 over through 9. Thinking, well, this isn't what I thought it'd be. Well, what is ever what you thought it would be?
Well, the one thing that I knew there was greatness the first time, Jay, that I met Sean Foley a good number of years ago. And one thing I want to talk about, Jay, and I know it'll impress you as it has impressed me. One of Sean Foley's requirements is, long before he gets to see the guy hit a golf ball, he wants to know about their character, because you're in a position now through your success that, you know, you can pick and choose. But you put a high premium on character, and then if the character's there, then you'll take a look at the ability.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Cameron's is young to that point. The way I look at it now, because, you know, we've all been out here for a long time, and it's not easy. It's a hard job. I mean, I love it, but it's golf, and golf is difficult, and you have the ability to judge yourself every 15 minutes, and frustration occurs, and, you know, there's all those things. So to me now, kind of one of the ways I look at it is, I work with guys based on the fact that if something happened to me, I know that my sons would be all right with them taking care of them, that they would help them become good men. And I think if you don't have that level of respect and love, it's just too much of a grind, and it's not worth it. So, you know, players like Danny Willett, Kevin Chappell, Justin Rose, those are all guys I know, if anything happened to me, that my sons would be taken care of. And I don't mean financially. I mean, have mentorship, have someone that would they could look up to. Cameron's known my boy since Quinn was, my 10-year-old was one, and Kieran wasn't even born yet. So it's kind of really cool for them to see this kid come to stay with us a bunch of times a year for 3 or 4 days, and we'd go work. But the new generation of kids, they won't see me at the tournaments as much as the last generation did. If we really want to train and work, it helps to do it in a non-combative, non-consequential environment. So do your work at home, come to the tournament, learn the golf course, make sure you sleep plenty, make sure you're hydrated, and then enjoy the struggle, because it's going to be a struggle.
You know, Sean, as golf fans and media, we see somebody like Cameron Champ have the young start that he's had, having the success on the web.com tour, which we're now starting to see more of, those guys getting that success, learning to win, coming out on tour. It's not about keeping your card anymore. It's about getting to the winner's circle. Mm. And now that he's gotten to the winner's circle, I think maybe, and maybe wrongly so, some of our expectations change for a young man like Cameron Champ. I mean, how do his goals change when you get an early win like that in a young career? I mean, does he start thinking about majors, or you just stick with the golf swing and stick with the shot in front of you and
100%
day to day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think he's already learned, as we've all learned in our own careers, or not on the golf course, but the businessmen listening, the businesswomen listening, the doctors, the lawyers, is that getting ahead of yourself is never helpful at all. You know, the fact is, you know, people, you know, if they live in yesterday, they're typically sad. And if they live in tomorrow, they have anxiety. So, I mean, where we have the most power is where we're at. So just getting them to understand that, you know, you have a long way to go. Like last year with Danny Willett, when I started with Danny, he was a shadow of the player that he'd been. But you still know he's Danny Willett. So, you know, he would get excited about what he was seeing as far as, you know, his improvements. And I'm like, man, these are improvements on a Tuesday. We need improvements on Sunday. So being able to continue just to tell him, like, you know, you're not as good as you need to be yet. So as everyone's around him saying, you're looking good this week, I'm like, you're just setting him up to fail. Like, as soon as he gets in that left-to-right wind, he's not going to have any chance. So it's – you got to be honest with these guys up front. And the fact is, you have DJ and – Rory and John Rahm and Justin Rose. And so, you know, Brooks Koepka, I mean, it just goes on and on. So, yeah, it is, you know, is there's footprints on the moon. So the level we can get to is really, really high. But the fact of the matter is, just doing small things well each and every day is what builds those big, big moments. And so there's no way to, you know, you got to go through it to get to it. So I don't mind when they play poorly or when they're struggling, because that's kind of where all those nuggets of wisdom are found. Like, I've been on vacation here all week. I haven't learned a single thing. You know, it's right. I learn a lot when the ball's going sideways and all three of them can't find it. And it's a struggle and it's hard. And I kind of, maybe I'm perverse that way, that I really enjoy that more so than the other part. It's, I think a lot of people have found that it's about the climb, it's not about the summit. And for me, it's more about the process than it is about the achievement. I've seen a lot of people get to the summit or really have high achievements, and there's this strange depression that hits them after. And I think that's because, you know, we're just trying to get Cameron to be a better version of himself every day and just show up every day, do the things that we've been almost working on the same exact things for like 8 years. And not losing his special parts, but just kind of getting the club in positions that will help him when he goes into doing what he's special at. And so, you know, it takes time. What you learn as a child really, really cements itself in your memory. And, you know, you're always kind of working against that 12-year-old, and you got to realize that every single day. It's always working against that 12-year-old. And, you know, I'm excited for, you know, for what his future holds, but it's not something I spend more than a second thinking about, because, you know, anything can happen. Anything can happen.
Well, I hope everybody loved our chat with Sean. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the commitment Century Insurance has made to the Maui community.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. I'm Jay Randolph Jr. on Twitter at STL Golf Geek, and he's the Bob Bubka VOG. That VOG stands for the Voice of Golf, and the Voice of Golf is enjoying the spoils of Maui and the Century Tournament of Champions. But Bob, Century has really embraced this championship, and not only are they sponsoring the event, they're making a difference in the community.
Well, good point there, Jay. And, you know, last year they didn't have a lot of time in preparation, but, boy, they're fully behind this event now. Pete McPartland, the Century chairman of the board, president, and CEO, made some announcements the other day that I thought were absolutely outstanding and gave me a clear indication of how behind this tournament they really are. $25,000 donation to the Maui United Way. But I think the biggest point made was the 4 Century scholarships that they're going to be giving for the next 3 years. And a key factor, Jay, these are going to be going to public high school students, scholarships to the University of Hawaii. And when I heard that announcement, I said, you know what? Century is coming here to Maui, but they want to be a fabric of the community, and they certainly, all indications early on that they really are. The Century people that are on the grounds have been very accommodating, very exciting. Certainly they're excited about Rory McIlroy being here. And boy, when you get 34 out of 37 possibilities, Jay, you know they're doing something right.
Absolutely. And let's be honest, a lot of times corporations just attach their name to an event. They come in and there is a donation made, but not as directly as this, where their employees are getting involved. They're involved with the United Way. And as you said, it's the local public high school there in Maui. And then you enroll in the University of Hawaii system. So while it's a place where most people just go and visit, and that's what Century's doing this week, they're leaving their imprint on the community. And when you look at it, basically over the next 3 or 4 years, they're going to have 12 kids going to college on them, or certainly with the benefit of money from them. So it's a tremendous commitment. And as you said, they really got the event kind of late going into 2018, and it's really come together in 2019. I'm jealous that you and Janice are getting to enjoy it and happy for what Century's doing for the community.
Well, it goes without saying, we certainly wish you were alongside of us. We may have to work on that for next year. So as we wrap up our first show of 2019, the Grill Room sends a big high five to Century Insurance for investing in the local Maui community.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.